Bar Shalom. I spoke extensively last week about Egypt. Today, a week later, I still agree with what I said last week, which is in itself an accomplishment because I don't always agree with everything I say. You can listen to the sermon or download the text on our website, so consider this part two of the sermon. So it's over 2 weeks, it's a pretty long sermon. What a remarkable day. It's a day like any other, unlike any other day we have witnessed in the Middle East. It's a day unlike any other day we could have imagined in the Middle East. The faces of liberation and the shouts of joy are irresistible. These are not yet faces of liberty. We pray with all our hearts that liberation will lead to liberty, that the keys that unlocked the shackles of imprisonment today will open the doors of freedom tomorrow. And let us, however, not miss the opportunity to marvel and salute the protesters in the square, led by the Egyptian youth, who in a span of 18 days and in a stunning, peaceful, and even beautiful way, brought down the 30-year dictatorship of Egypt. What courage. What an inspiration to the world. What an inspiration to the youth of the world. What an inspiration to the Arab and Muslim world. And what an inspiration to the youth of the Arab and Muslim world. We cannot be faulted for feeling a bit more optimistic today than we were yesterday that Iran may be next. Egypt has only begun its fight for freedom. It is in for elated and deflated days. The struggle is now only beginning in earnest. The departure of Mubarak is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. It is at best the end of the beginning. It is only now that the hard work of building up civil society begins. As of today, the military governs Egypt. But for today, no heart of flesh can be unmoved by the downfall of the dictator. Only a heart of stone is untouched by the shouts of joy heard up and down the Nile River. We do not usually live through a day that shakes the world. Even less common do we recognize that this is the day that marks the transition from one era to another. But today is one of those days. 3 generations from now, there will be Egyptian men and Egyptian women who will tell their grandchildren on their knees, "I was there. I was present at Genesis, the creation of a new day." 4 generations from now, there will be children who beg their great-grandparents to tell them again about that day in Liberation Square when the world changed. May it be, perhaps sometime near the dawn of the 22nd century, that the story that these elderly people will tell will be the story of how the Egyptians won their democracy, forever slamming the door on dictatorship, rather than the story of that brief shining moment of freedom before the chill of oppression that once more descended upon the desert. For Americans, Israelis, and all who love freedom, this day is filled with hope and with fear. Hope that a great society will soon join the free people of the world, and fear that a great society will once again be brought down. The military will press its boot hard on society's neck. But for today, we should allow ourselves at least one day to reflect upon the blessings of freedom. Americans are experts on freedom. Jews are experts on freedom. This is our vocation and our gift to the world. And so, at least for this one day, we too should take stock. I've traveled extensively around the world. I've lived in a number of different countries. The more I see the rest of the world, the greater is my appreciation for the United States. This country is a miracle. You look at all the troubles of the world. You look at all of the miserable people who live on $5 a day. You see how many of them live under corrupt dictatorships and other forms of tyranny. You see how they struggle for basic freedoms and basic dignity. You see how elated they are when the faint winds of change, perfumed with the scent of liberty, wafts into the square. Long ago, in this country, we determined that certain truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal, and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Long ago, we resolved that these truths are universally true. They are as true for the Egyptians as they are for us. We're so free in this country that many of us look at trouble spots in the world and have this feeling of superiority. Freedom is good for us. We can handle it, but not for them. I can't tell you how often I've heard this sentiment in the last few weeks. America is more than a place. America is more than a financial system. America is an idea. The world is sustained by the American idea. It is still the last best hope on earth. It's why the crowds look to America for inspiration. They tell us of all these rising powers that will usurp the United States in the 21st century. Perhaps it is true that we are in decline, although I hope not. It seems more true to me that America was temporarily elevated to unnatural prominence in the aftermath of World War II, and now other countries are catching up. But for today and for the foreseeable future, who can replace America as the indispensable force of freedom? China? Russia? India? Even Europe? Do the crowds in Egypt look to Brussels, or do they look to the United States? We owe the world and we owe the Egyptians fidelity to the democratic ideals upon which we were founded. We cannot waver from that. That is who we are. Our foreign policy should be guided by the promotion of democracy. And by this, I mean not some blind loyalty to elections as the be-all and end-all of democracy. Elections come after the institutions of civil society, not before. Otherwise, you get Hamas, Hezbollah, and Ayatollahs. The ultimate irony: anti-democrats claiming authority to rule by virtue of elections. Mubarak, too, claimed to be elected. Mubarak, too, claimed that there was a parliament in Egypt. Mubarak, too, had courts. These were all shams. These were not palaces of justice, but institutions perpetuating injustice. First, societies must envision and enshrine democratic institutions, pluralistic politics, a fair and unbiased judiciary, a constitution or basic laws that balance majority rule with minority rights. And only then can you begin to make a plausible case for democracy. Elections are not the end of democracy. They are its replenishing oasis. Elections are like the periodic flooding of the Nile River that keeps the fields of freedom watered so that additional seeds can bear fruit. We Americans are the world's experts in civil society and democratic institutions. We should be reaching out to all who believe in this true democracy, our way, and help them and guide them and offer our rhetorical, financial, and political support. We should be hard-headed realists, not utopian dreamers who are so enraptured by their theories that they have convinced themselves that the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood is a sort of brotherhood of defanged, domesticated dilettantes. Did you see the amazing statement by the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who testified before a congressional committee yesterday? Who said that the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood is a largely secular group that has eschewed violence? We cannot delude ourselves and convince ourselves to look at the world as we would like it to be, despite the evidence staring us in the face. Egypt will go its own way. It will be the Egyptian people who in the end will determine Egypt's future. In truth, we do not have the power, we never did, to decree what the outcome will be in any country in the world. In those instances where we thought that we had the power, even during the heady days of American dominance during the second half of the 20th century, it often turned out bad for us and bad for our allies. The dominoes fell anyway. But we will always have considerable influence in hard and in soft power. We should be ready to support all those who pledge their commitment to the principles of democracy, democracy as we define it, not as the tyrants do. On a day like today, we should reflect how rapidly the world is changing. Mark Zuckerberg has done more for the Egyptian people in the last 3 years than many Egyptian leaders in the last 30 years. Social networking has revolutionized revolutions. Facebook has given a face to social activists and opened the book of community organizing. Twitter allows the tweets of freedom to be heard even when subdued and weak. If in the past authorities could suppress the opposition by controlling the media and oppressing activists, today governments are finding it increasingly difficult to plug all the leaks. They don't know where they are, where they're coming from. Whenever they put their finger in the dam, new leaks spring up all over the place. There is enormous new technological power that makes the business of governing increasingly complicated and the survival of tyrants increasingly questionable. And yet, the human creature has stayed the same. People around the world are innately similar. Most human beings have similar aspirations to live decent lives, to raise our children in dignity, and to be free to determine our own destiny. Most people yearn to live in peace. Some people have additional aspirations. Some seek to control, dominate, and suppress. Some are warlike and violent. They too have been around since the dawn of human civilization. With the new technologies and the power of modern science, the good people have been granted powerful new tools to fight back against the bad people. But the bad people, too, are more powerful than ever. There are people around the world who, without hesitation, would use all of the destructive tools of modern science to bring the world to its knees. And thus, we are in a race against time. Will we defeat the bad people before they defeat us? We need to make common cause with people like us, sober, sane, moderate, democratic, and peace-loving folks of all persuasions and of all religions, of all ethnicities, to keep humanity on its upward path. We Jews are not entitled to be cynical about history. Jews believe that we can shape history and determine our own futures. That's what the Exodus from Egypt is all about. Judaism believes in human progress, in a world that is evolving for the better. It might not always seem that way. It might seem to us that we take 3 steps back before taking a step forward. The road is long. The end might not be in sight. But it is our Jewish conviction that humanity is on an ever-straightening highway of progress. The chaos, evil, and nihilism proposed by the world's jihadists, autocrats, and tyrants are in the long run unsustainable. As the prophets proclaimed, one day, they shall sit every person under their vine and under their fig tree, and none shall be afraid. History is at work every day, even as we speak. There are subterranean forces bubbling below the surface. We cannot yet see their effect. But like a volcano, the fire is smoldering underground. And one fine day, without even realizing that this day will be different from all other days, these fires will rush up and erupt into the deep blue skies of a bright, sunny day. May these be the fires of freedom rather than the fires of destruction. In early 2001, I led a delegation of senior reform movement leaders to Berlin. While there, I arranged a meeting with Walter Mumper, who was the mayor of West Berlin when the Berlin Wall collapsed. He told us a fascinating story about the day that the wall came down. He said that despite having at its disposal all of the military and intelligence assets of the West, which were aimed at knowing about everything that happened on the other side of the wall, Mayor Mumper had no idea that the wall would fall on that day. When he arose in the morning and went to work, he assumed that it would be a day like any other day. He told us that in his most optimistic vision, he thought that in 20 to 30 years, Germans would be able to go from west to east and from east to west without showing passports to the sentries at the wall. And on that day, the wall collapsed. The mayor told us that he was at a television studio explaining in an interview that reunification would have to wait at least another generation. When his beeper began shaking violently and he was called urgently to the wall that had just been breached by thousands of East Germans, the volcano had erupted. The subterranean fires of freedom exploded into the blue sky. It was a new day. Amen.